Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Bucketheads, episode 23 of Lane Grant Holy Land's College Basketball Podcast, and the home of your no longer first place but still very much in the hunt, Ohio State Buckeyes. My name is Connor Lamons, and I am joined by my lovely co-host Justin Golba, who you will hear from in just a moment. Before we get going, I just want to shout out the folks who have either been listening to us since the spring, as well as the folks who have may just joined recently, you know, when football slowed down. We love you all the same, and we appreciate you listening. We've reached about 150 followers on Twitter, on the Twitter account, so it seems like there's at least a few people listening to us airheads blab every week, so we appreciate you. Justin, our large basketball son, EJ, he is just fine. I was in the building this last weekend. I saw his fireworks. He is just fine. How has your week been? And I guess, what were your thoughts watching that game this weekend?
Been good. It was better watching EJ Liddell kind of, I don't want to say shut some people up, but there was a lot of people talking about him being exposed, overrated, and all he did was drop 30 on people on their heads and look amazing on the defensive end again. So, like you said, we knew he wouldn't be bad for long. I mean, everyone keeps saying, just, you got to stop blaming COVID, but there is a very clear, stat census to look at since the COVID. He was playing great before COVID, the COVID break. Then he gets COVID. They have a 3-week break where he probably practiced twice, and he's someone who uses his legs a lot. He plays a lot of minutes, so it took a while for him to get those legs back underneath him, but it seems like during that Northwestern game, he looked just back to normal, and we'll see how he looks, I guess, today. If you're listening to this recording on a Wednesday, but the Wisconsin game was just released on Thursday, so it'll be today or tonight that they play Wisconsin. We'll see how he looks again against a good team.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy, honestly, the shots he was getting, and they asked him a few times at the press conference, which we'll get into. I guess we can just dive right in, basically. They asked him at the press conference a few times. They were like, EJ, how did this happen? And if you're listening to this, I'm sure you watched the game, but if you didn't, for some reason, EJ scored 17 points in the first 5 minutes. So at the first media timeout, he already had 17 points on 5 3-pointers in the first 4.5, 5 minutes. And they asked him, they're like, was Diebler, because Holtman was out and Peden was out, was Diebler running plays for you to get open? Were you just open for some reason? And EJ just said, like, they were just leaving me open outside. Like, they weren't really letting me get too much inside, but when I got back outside, they were kind of just letting me shoot. So I was just shooting because I was open. So they just left him open from right around the top of the key over and over and over. And so he just went, he went crazy, mostly shooting from outside. Later in the game, it was more inside, but you know, a good bounce back game for him after a couple of, objectively like just bad performances.
Yeah. And that's the benefit of having someone like Branham go off over the past couple games. You know, that's, they had to put more attention onto him. Normally a lot of these games, you know, EJ is taking the brunt of the attention and he's trying to kick it out to guys like Arns and Cedric Russell and Malachi Branham and Michi Johnson to make some plays. While now Malachi Branham was the playmaker, they have to kind of look at him. So EJ was finding himself a little more open than he's normally used to. And he's definitely a good enough shooter to where if he's open, he'll knock it down. So he kind of made Northwestern pay with that one.
And not everything was great. EJ was great. He had 34 points. I would need to pull the box score up to see exactly how much he shot. I think he took 20 shots. I think he was like 12 of 20 or something along those lines. But he had 34 points, a career high against Northwestern, but not everything in that game was great. They beat Northwestern by 8 points, 95-87, in a game when your best player scored 34 and basically your second best player on the floor scored 24. So your two best players combined for almost 60 points and they still only won by 8. There was a lot of stuff that was not good, most notably offensive rebounding. They gave up 16 offensive rebounds to Northwestern, which was, I believe, the most that Ohio State has ever given up since Chris Holtmann became the head coach.
Yeah, and you know, there was a lot of factors for that, mainly just because when you're missing as many shots as Northwestern was as early as they were, you know, you kind of get a little – and, you know, we talked about this kind of during the game. I think when you're playing that well on offense – and just everything is going right on offense. They had 51 points in the first half. They had 51 total points against Indiana. Like everything was just flowing and flowing and flowing. You tend to get a little bit lazier on the defensive end just because you kind of get in that mindset of like, we know we're going to score on the offensive end. It's not a good mindset to be in, but it's just kind of reality. It's kind of it's not the same, but it's some of the basketball equivalent of like, when you get up 35-0 in football and you start playing just that prevent D and let the quarterback throw for 400 yards, you just still know you're going to win. It's kind of that. It's kind of similar to that. The offensive rebounding isn't good. It hasn't been great all year. It's just something at this point they're going to have to just accept they're just not great at. They're just not that big of a team. So when you do face guys that are 6'10", 6'11", they're probably going to get a couple offensive rebounds. It's just something I have to play through at this point. Zed Key was in a little bit of foul trouble, which didn't help because he is their big guy. And you know, because Malachi Branham has been playing so well and Michi Johnson has been playing pretty well, I think that's taken away a little bit of like Kyle Young's minutes, who is obviously a good rebounder, but obviously you need Young out there as much as possible because he's the engine that makes this thing run. And then also, you know, Liddell was guarding Pete Nance a lot of the game, and Pete Nance is kind of like a Liddell. He'll pull you out of the paint and you have to guard him on the perimeter. So a lot of those rebounds Liddell wasn't even in the paint for. So it was kind of just one of those games where I think they were playing so well on offense that the defense wasn't amazing. Again, like I said, it's not an excuse. You know, they probably should have beat them by 20 or 25 points. It probably shouldn't have been even close, but credit to Northwestern for knocking down some shots. And I mean, Ty Berry had a career high, so, you know, credit to him.
Yeah, it wasn't good that area of the game. Ryan Young for Northwestern had 5 offensive rebounds by himself. Ohio State had 7 for the whole day. As a team, they had 7, and Ryan Young from Northwestern by himself had 5. And he wasn't asked about it post-game. I tried to get a question in to Holtmann, but unsurprisingly, that
like you mean Diebler?
To Diebler. Of the 3 groups, players, Chris Collins and Diebler, like the highest demand for questions was Diebler, so I wasn't able to get one in. But I wanted to ask about that offensive rebounding. Is it because it when I was watching it, it didn't look like long rebounds. Sometimes that happens. Like you just get unlucky. Your team is missing their threes and the threes clang off the iron really long and they get the rebound. It was just like Ryan Young, Pete Nance, those guys were just tougher, stronger, and more aggressive. slash.
It seemed like some loose ball rebounds as well. Just kind of like guys not securing and balls kind of getting away, which I don't have the numbers on that, but it seemed like it.
And I'm watching the ball most of the time, so I'm not looking at all five individuals, but maybe guys weren't doing a great job boxing out, just grabbing a body and stopping them. Like, I'm sure that when you get that many offensive rebounds, luck, they just getting a bad bounce here or there plays into it partially, but it's also something they have to shore up because they're not going to shoot. What did they shoot this game? 50-some percent? They shot 57% as a team. So in a game when you only shoot, even if you drop that down to 40-45%, which is still pretty good, you give up 16 offensive rebounds, you probably lose the game. So that's going to be something they need to work on. They turned the ball over 14 times, and it was collectively as a team. Like, Wheeler had three. He had six assists, but he had three turnovers. Liddell had three. Kyle Young had three, which is not like him. Malachi Branham had two. So basically all of their mistakes were covered up because they were so good on the offensive end. But there are going to be days when you're not playing that well offensively, and those types of things are going to lose you games, like potentially tonight.
Yeah, and those are the things you have to shore up for when you're playing like a Purdue, where you have Zach Edey and Trevion Williams down there, and even like a Caleb First. You know, these guys are just really good rebounders, and they're just simply bigger. You know what I mean? They're just bigger than any Ohio State player. Zach Edey's bigger than anybody in college basketball. So, those are where you need to shore those up, because there's no reason Zach Edey shouldn't have 15 points against them or 15 rebounds against them. But then you see they play a team like Penn State, and we talked about John Herrera, and we'll kind of talk about Penn State a little bit later because, they play them coming up again. John Herrera is one of the better rebounders in the conference by far. Like, he's very, very physical, very big, very strong. He had 12 against Ohio State, but it wasn't
the leading rebounder in the Big Ten right now.
I think he is. He was last year, or one of the ones last year. I don't know how much Coburn's averaging, because he puts up those weird stat lines of like 29-17, and then he'll go for like 8-6. So it's hard to really – I don't know his stats off the top of my head, but Harris is a very good rebounder, and he had 12 rebounds against Ohio State, but they weren't impactful rebounds. We talked about some of them were like, even he'd have an offensive rebound and like miss the tip-in. They'd get another rebound, then miss the tip-in, kind of stats like that. If they can just hold those kind of good rebounders to those kind of non-impactful rebounds, that's kind of the thing you need to look for. If looking back, they didn't play Kentucky, but – I think Oscar Tshiebwe would have loved to play this team because he's averaging 16 rebounds a game, and he probably would have got like 30 against Ohio State.
Leading rebounder in the Big Ten is Kofi Coburn, 12.5 per game. Second is John Herrera with 10.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then it's Trevion Williams from Purdue with 8.8.
Which is insane because he plays like 20 minutes a game. Trevion Williams' stats make no sense.
20.7, and eventually we'll get to Purdue, and we'll talk about Purdue. But Ohio State's had a hell of a time with Trevion Williams in the past. Just an absolute hell of a time figuring him out. He is so good. To stay on Northwestern, I think Northwestern's a good team. They're only 1-3 in Big Ten play as of right now. Again, this is coming out Thursday. Like, right now, as we record this on Wednesday night, they're playing Maryland tonight. So Northwestern could get back on track at 2-3. I think that they're a fine team. I think they're a borderline NCAA tournament team. And even though they're pretty bad on defense, they're really fun to watch on offense. So they'll be a team to keep an eye on, and that's going to be a win that could get sweeter because I think Northwestern is probably going to trip up a few good teams as the season goes on. If they play Michigan State again, like, I could see them beating Michigan State. Ohio State won't play them again, so they will not beat Ohio State this season. But I could see them beating a Michigan State or beating a Purdue. Clearly, they could clearly beat Michigan, but like, they could potentially upset like an Illinois and beat a couple good teams because they have the talent, at least offensively, to do that.
Yeah, the funny part is, and I had them in the tournament. I don't think they'll make the tournament now. I think they've just kind of dug themselves a little too much of a hole at 1-3, and then they still play Purdue, Michigan State, Wisconsin. They still just have these games that I just don't think they're going to win. They'll be close. I think they might be a bubble team. But the funny part about Northwestern is when we talked about them last week, I said, look, they have Bo Bowie, they have Chase Audige, and they have Pete Nance. They need other people to step up, and that's how they'll win games. They got that in this game. Like you said, Ryan Young had a good game. Ty Berry had a career-high 23. It was just they allowed Ohio State to have 95 points. I mean, 87 points, that's going to win you a lot of games. So it was kind of funny that they did exactly what they need to do on offense. They just, you know, they let Littell and Branham go for 60 combined, and nobody else for Ohio State looked particularly amazing. Michi hit a couple shots. You know, Cedric Russell hit a couple shots, but for the most part, it was just Littell and Branham. They just couldn't stop. And until Justice Suing comes back, I'm starting to think that's going to be a little bit of a trend here.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a pretty clear one and two at this point, and then whoever else can contribute behind them.
It is pretty crazy to watch Ohio State drop 95 points at halftime. According to our good friend of the pod, Kevin Sweeney, Ohio State had 1.5 points per possession. That is unbelievable how good that is. One is very good. 1.5 is unbelievable. So to see them do that without two of their probably top six scores is it is the potential is pretty sky high for this team, especially on offense.
And honestly, until you get Suing and Towns back, we're probably just going to keep ringing that same bell of like, until Suing and Towns are back, like this team is still, they're still climbing up the hill. They're still trying to get to where they want to be. And once they get those guys back, then they'll be at full strength. We're going to go out of order a little bit because Ohio State has Penn State the next on Sunday, but a couple days after Penn State, and this is newer news, Ohio State added a game to the schedule for January 18th, which is Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at the Shot. Tickets are on sale, but wait until I tell you who it is, because then you may not be as interested. They are playing the IUPUI Jaguars out of the Horizon League. They are, because they missed those three games, they're able to squeeze in a non-conference game in between Penn State and Nebraska. So 2 days after Penn State and 3 days before Nebraska, they're not traveling. They'll still be in Columbus. And this is a very bad team. So it should be more like a scrimmage and shouldn't be as tough on their bodies.
Yeah. I mean, this is it's a can't lose scenario unless they somehow lose the game, which would then derail their entire season. So, kind of got to win this one. Shouldn't be an issue. As you said, they're 1-12. Their one win is against Spalding College in Kentucky. They didn't say Kentucky next to Spalding. I wouldn't know where that is. They're averaging 51 points per game this season. Like that's horrendous. The best scorer is BJ Maxwell, who's averaging a modest 12 points per game. But then there's nobody else averaging over 6.5 points per game. And their second and third leading scorers are off the bench, which doesn't even make any sense to me. And they're only averaging less than 20 minutes a game. They play a lot of guys. They have 10 guys averaging more than 15 minutes per game. I guess that depth is great if you're good, but they're not. So this should be one of those figure out rotation games. You just gotta beat them. There's no excuse.
I'm trying to even find if that is if Spalding University is even Division I.
I don't think so. I can't think they are.
They play in the SLIAC basketball. What is that? That has to be like D2 or maybe like NAIA.
I think that's NAIA. That's absolutely
it's not. It's Division III. It's D3.
I love how we just skipped Division III. We're like, it's either Division II or NAIA. It's like, oh, there's
clearly not Division III. It's either Division II or NAIA. So they beat a D3 school and they have lost everybody else. So, and it's not even like it's one of these like, get paid to go get whooped on by a big school. Yeah, this game will be. But like, it's not like their schedule's been a bunch of big schools. They lost to Butler to start the season by 10, respectable. But like, all the rest of their losses are to like Horizon League schools, other small schools. They're getting shitted on by like very similar schools to them. So yeah, they're just bad. They are KenPom 355. Which, for folks that don't know, most people don't, there's 358 Division I teams, and they're number 355. So probably the worst team that Ohio State has ever played. They average 17 turnovers a game. They average like 50 points a game. Like, I don't know how or why they are putting this team on the schedule.
Well, I know why, but
they're going to get run up and down the court. They're going to get some work in.
That's exactly what it is. They're going to get some legs underneath them after their COVID break. And IUPUI might view this as a benefit too, just because they are also coming off a COVID break. They were on break from December 21st through like January 8th. They just got back. So they're just trying to play some games too. You know, Iowa State has history in the Horizon League. Obviously, they play Wright State a lot. They'll play Cleveland State a lot. They'll play Chicago State. But those are teams that tend to finish at the top of the conference, not the bottom. So, yeah, I mean, the Horizon League is not a bad league at all. You know, Milwaukee's known for having Patrick Baldwin Jr. right now, who's probably going to be a top 10 pick in the draft. But they're playing the worst team in the Horizon League. So they're doing this just to get, you know, and I said this before we started recording, quality wins and Q1 wins and all that stuff are very important, but just wins are important. Just literally how many wins do you have? And they lost out on three possible wins with the COVID break, two probably definite wins, and then the Kentucky game was a toss-up. So they lost out on three possible wins, so this is just them adding one. But like I said, it could very well backfire because if for some reason they have a bad game, they lose this game, it could completely derail their season. So they need to win it.
Yeah, I can't see a scenario where they lose this game, but hey, you never know. I never thought they'd lose to a 15 seed either, and that's a thing that definitely hypothetically could have happened.
Yeah, I don't remember it, but I've heard it happen. I also say I think Oral Roberts beats this team by 40, but nevertheless.
Beats Ohio State or beats IUPUI?
IUPUI. Not Ohio State. Okay. No. I mean, they might beat Ohio State by like say 2 or something, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just hypothetical, of course. I don't know.
Shout out Kevin O'Banner, former Oral Roberts legend.
Screw who Kevin beat O'Banner.
Ohio State and Florida and almost beat Arkansas in the NCAA tournament. He's now a Texas Tech Red Raider, and they knocked off number one Baylor last night. So shout out to Kevin O'Banner, not a friend of the pod, foe of the pod, but just thought I'd mention that.
The fraudulent Baylor Bears. I'm just kidding, actually, Baylor.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wisconsin, the rematch is Thursday, which is today, technically, like we said. Today, the rematch. Wisconsin's up to 13. Ohio State dropped to 16. What are you thinking about this one?
I think Ohio State awakened a beast in Wisconsin because since they beat them, you know, and they beat them pretty handily. We talked about this, probably one of their best complete games of the season, that Wisconsin game. And they just, since then, Wisconsin's rattled off 5 straight wins. All 5 by single digits. Even they beat Nicholls State and they beat Purdue by like the same amount. So it's kind of funny. But they're all by single digits, but they've won these games. They've won, like I said, they won 5 in a row. It'd be funny if you told me on December 11th that when they played again on January 13th that the Wisconsin would be ranked higher than Ohio State. I'd have to assume Ohio State season went into turmoil, but really just Wisconsin won some games and, you know, they've moved up to 13th. It's not hard to see why. It's Johnny Davis. I mean, he's if he's not the best player in the conference, I don't know who is. He's playing just absolutely amazing basketball. He's one of the more impressive players I've watched over the past 3 seasons, just because you know what he's doing. Like, you know, he's their go-to guy. You know, he's the best player on the team. You know, there's not much after him. I mean, they don't do, but he is just a bucket getter. He's averaging 22.5. He's averaging 7.1 rebounds per game, which might be even more impressive. You know, Brad Davison averages 15 a game for them, but it's the Johnny Davis show. And he had 37-14 against Purdue. He just had 24 against Maryland, and they won by 1. You know, he's that guy for them. And it's kind of turned into, you know, and shout out to Chucky Hepburn, who I've said before, I covered him in high school. He stepped in. he's playing 30 minutes a game for them, running the point guard position, and he's doing a really good job. He has 27 assists and 17 turnovers. He has the same amount of steals as turnovers. So he's done a good job at the point guard position to kind of let Brad Davison play off the ball a little bit. So shout out to Chucky Hepburn, one of Bellevue West's great. If you're anywhere near Nebraska, you know what Bellevue West is. It's going to come down to, for them, what Tyler Wall gives them and what Stephen Kroll gives them. That's always those two. It's always them. What does the bench give them? Their bench doesn't provide much in terms of scoring. Their leading scorer off the bench is averaging 3.2 points per game. I mean, it's their starting five. That's what they rely on. That's what they go with. That's what they use. And, all their starters have started every game. They've had the same starting lineup every single game for the most part, I think, except one. They switched up a little bit. So, that's Johnny Davis plays 35 minutes a game. Brad Davison plays 33. You know what you're getting with this team. You just got to stop them. They did a good job of it a month ago. See what they do. It's a whole different ball game, though, because this is at the Kohl Center. So it's a tough place to go and win.
Yeah, I've been flip-flopping on Wisconsin all season long. We talked about this at the beginning of the season. I thought Wisconsin was just going to be bad, like bad, 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 because
they would be if Johnny Davis wasn't a national All-American candidate.
Bingo, bingo, bingo. When you look at the stats of who they had coming back, you're like, okay, they have this kid, Jonathan Davis, who averaged 7 points. Like, he's probably going to get a little bit better. He'll probably score, he'll be a better player this year, but he'll continue to get better. Brad Davison, who's not a very good offensive player, they lose all of their top 4 or 5 scorers. Like, all right, it's going to be a bad team. And Jonathan Davis, who I need to get this straight, because now not only, like, his name is Jonathan, but I think he wants to go by Johnny now. Like,
he definitely,
Sports Reference.
It has changed throughout the season. Like, it was Jonathan Davis when the season started. Now it's Johnny. So he must have got the word out. Hey, I'm Johnny.
Like, Sports Reference, like the Wisconsin roster, like, it all says Johnny now. And, like, I've been typing Jonathan forever in articles, but anyway, he is their team. Like you said, the rest of their team is not good. Like, Brad Davison, I think, averages 14 points a game. 14 and a half, but he does it. He shoots, he's sub 40% from the floor. He's like 38%. He's 33% from three. He's not even their main ball handler, really. That's even Johnny Davis is essentially like their point guard now. Him and Chucky Hepburn split that. Like, Brad Davison isn't like a floor general. He's an off ball guard who is very inefficient shooting. Neither Tyler Wall or Stephen Kroll were good against Ohio State. So I still think that overall, like, this Wisconsin team, the makeup of this Wisconsin team, like, it's not good. Like, it's not a good, sustainable way to win games. But basically, Johnny Davis is just giving me the middle finger every night. And he's like, yeah, who cares? I'm going to score 34 and we're going to win by two. They barely beat Nicholls State without him. They barely beat Illinois State. I think they had him for that game.
No, they didn't. He's missed two games this season. I believe it was those two. And then he comes back for the Purdue game, drops 37 and 14, and they win by five, at Purdue, by the way, which is impressive.
Which is very impressive. But exactly. So it's like, what happens if he scores 20 points in a game? Typically, you're like, that's a very good game. That's not enough for Wisconsin to win games if he's only scoring 20 points a game.
No, yeah. They need him to – he needs to have, like you said, he had a career game against Purdue. 37-14 is a stat line most 99.9% of players will never even get, and they beat Purdue by five.
Exactly. So
they scored 74. He had half their points. Literally, exactly half their points. We keep saying Nicholls State. It's just Nicholls. I don't know why we keep saying State.
They changed that at some point.
It used just to be want to point State. That out before we get like fact checked by some Nicholls fan that checks in.
Oh my god! Like, here's some numbers on the Wisconsin offense, and this is how bad the people around him are. That these are still the numbers. This includes Johnny Davis's offense. Wisconsin averages 71.7 points per game. That is 194th in the country. They average 66 possessions per game, which I guess possessions doesn't necessarily mean you're bad, but that's 294th in the country. They shoot just over 41% as a team. That is 292nd in the country. Three-point shots, 29.6 as a team. Let me verify that on ESPN. Yes, 29.6% shooting as a team, which is 320th in the nation. Overall field goal percentage, I said 41.7. This is a bad offense, and that includes probably the best player in the Big Ten. Like, this is a shack that is falling down that is held up by duct tape, and the duct tape is Johnny Davis.
Well, and that's what we saw the first game against Ohio State. Johnny Davis really, he had a good game at the time, but then you look back on and you're like, he didn't play that great against Ohio State, and they beat him by 18. You know, that duct tape fell off. And Wisconsin was winning that game like 18-10 at one point. From there on, Ohio State outscored them by like 30. So, you know, that was kind of this team just defies all odds, because when you look at like their minutes played and stuff, they have no depth at all. You'd assume they might be bad late game situations because they're playing so many minutes. But like I said, over their past five games, they're 5-0, and they've won every game by single digits. So they are winning games late. But they're like, everybody plays. They don't play their bench for the most part. Their starters, Stephen Kroll, plays the least minutes as a starter. He plays 23 minutes a game. And Chris Voigt, the Cincinnati transfer, comes off the bench and plays 13 minutes a game. But outside of that, everybody else is playing 28 minutes or above of their starters. So, you know, it's a weird team. And I said this about Indiana. I think Indiana and Wisconsin are in the same boat of like, I think they can lose to anybody in the conference. I think if they catch Northwestern or Nebraska on a good day, those teams can beat them. I also think they can beat anybody in the conference, as they have. They beat Purdue. You know, so I this is just a weird team. You know, it might be one of those things where simply just Ohio State plays them on the road and loses to them, and they beat them at home and they split it. I don't know. I have Ohio State. I'm doing the preview for Land Grant. I do have Ohio State winning this game by 4. I think Ohio State will just kind of out-depth them, but maybe I'm looking into that too high. I don't know. We'll see. I think this is a big game, though, because Wisconsin's 4-1 in the conference as well. Ohio State's 4-1. Michigan State's 4-0, and that's pretty much where you're at with the conference. So this is a big game for them. It's going to be very interesting to see kind of how they respond defensively, because I don't know if this is a better offensive team than Northwestern, but Johnny Davis is better than anything Northwestern has to offer by far. And that's not an insult to Northwestern's players. That's just how good Johnny Davis is. So it'll be very interesting to see. This is one of those games, I don't say this often, but I'm very curious to see how this game goes, just from an analytical standpoint. They also beat Indiana by 5, if that matters to anybody.
Yeah, it's almost funny. Like, it's almost funny because it's literally like, you look at all the numbers, you watch them play, and like, the only conclusion you can draw is this isn't sustainable. This guy has to score 25 or 30 a game for them to win games, and he can't do that forever. And he's like, watch me. I mean, all the numbers say that like, they're just not that great. Like, overall adjusted offense in KenPom, they're a top 40 offense. They're a top 40 defense. So they're both fine in both areas, but they're not great in either side. We've already talked about all the supporting pieces, and as a team, their offensive numbers are not good. Their defensive numbers are not great. So it's just like, you want to say that Ohio State should have the upper hand, because if they do what they did last time, which is hold him to basically as many points as he had shots, he had 24 points on 22 shots last time they played each other, they win the game. But this dude just keeps on going out there and going crazy and scoring half of his team's points, and just, it doesn't matter if his teammates aren't good enough. Ohio State out rebounded them by 8 last time, I think. This team they don't have a Trace Jackson Davis that's going to be a menace under the basket like what happened against Indiana. I think that Ohio State probably has a better chance to win this game than they did at Indiana, but I would not, I'm not a betting guy, so I wouldn't put money on Ohio State. If you are a betting person and you are in a state where betting is legalized, Wisconsin is a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I think, and like I said, I have Ohio State winning by 4, Wisconsin's 2.5-point favorite. What that says is it's a toss-up. This game could go either way. It's going to come down to a couple shots. I will say this, if this team does sneak out a 5 or a 6 seed in the tournament, they're definitely going to be a favorite to be upset in the first round, because, like you said, this is not tournament sustainable. This is not what you want heading into the tournament. This isn't the team that you want to put the horses on. So, and that's not really an insult. Again, that's not an insult to them. It's just kind of just logic. We'll see. They keep defying logic, and it's kind of fun to watch a little bit, honestly. The fact that 13-2 is pretty incredible. And I thought, honestly, They had a little bit of a tougher start to conference play, and with the Ohio State game going as poorly as it did, and then Johnny Davis missing a couple games, their season could have derailed. Like, they could have lost. They could very well have that five-game stretch been 2-3 or 1-4, but they did a really good job of just grinding out wins, and now they're 13-2 and 4-1 in the Big Ten, and they have a legitimate chance, especially if they beat Ohio State today or tonight, to win the entire conference, which is insane. If Wisconsin wins this conference, man, whew.
I could see them winning a game or two in the tournament, because more than anything in an NCAA tournament, the most important thing is to have a good guard. So I could see Wisconsin being like an 8 or a 9, winning a game, and then I guess that's a bad example because they're an 8 or a 9. They're playing like the 1 next, so never mind. But I could see them winning like a game or two in the tournament.
I could as well, but it just when you're relying on that one player,
I can't see them making a deep run because I get what you're saying though. Like, I can't see them making a deep run because you can't expect Johnny Davis to score 35 points for straight games in the tournament to get them to like the Final Four, the championship game. But I think they're probably a pretty safe tournament team at this point. They've already Purdue and have a couple big wins. Like we said, so they have
Well, and the rest of their schedule, like of January, isn't crazy tough. I mean, they have Ohio State, but then they go Northwestern, which they should win. They play Michigan State at home. That's a toss up, and then Nebraska and Minnesota. So I mean, there's a lot of winnable games there.
Yeah, and I'll try to watch a few of them. What I've been doing lately is I'm like in the morning, I'll check the ESPN app and see like which Big Ten games are playing. I've been trying to watch more of the other teams. It's kind of hard to remember that they're playing sometimes just because like nobody in the Big Ten is ranked. Mm-hmm. So like you scroll through like the marquee games of the night and stuff, and there's no games in there, but like there are like unranked teams in the Big Ten that you definitely want to watch. Like Northwestern's one of them. So like a Wisconsin Northwestern, that'll be a fun game. Ohio State also has Penn State this weekend. The two have already played. I believe when they played the last time, Ohio State won by, was it 12? Was it 76-64?
Sounds right. I have it pulled up. I'll pull it up as you talk. But yeah, it sounds right.
They played. It's been over a month. Can you believe that? It's been over a month since they played Penn State. 76-64. It was a battle. It was a tight game until the final minutes. They won on the road, though. And then Penn State is going to come back to Columbus on Saturday. So which guys on Penn State's team, which guys, Justin, which guys had success against Ohio State and should people keep an eye out for again this time?
Just real quick, you said Saturday. It's on Sunday at noon. But not a big deal, just in case people are trying to play in the weekends. Jalen Pick has been playing really well recently. The Siena transfer, we talked about him when the first time they came about. Because he was 3-time all MAAC. You know, he was one of the better transfers in the portal this season, and he went to Penn State. So that was a huge get for them. They're playing another great big, as we said, with John Harris, and a great, very good big in John Harris. So, and you know, last game he had a double double, but it was kind of unimpactful double double. They pretty much controlled the entire game against Penn State. Penn State had a couple little runs and knocked down a couple shots late. To make it look closer than it was. But, you know, we're kind of at the point to where we kind of said this about the Northwestern game. Like, you get this team at home, you just got to beat them. There's no real ifs, ands, or buts about it. You just got to beat them. And then they go after Wisconsin, man, they go Penn State, IUPUI, Nebraska, Minnesota. Like, these kind of all have to be wins. And then you get at Purdue, and then it starts to get a little tougher. But, you know, the Ohio State could really finish out January with a bang. And I think it's going to really come down to the Wisconsin game, you know, how this game goes on Thursday. Can this game kind of propel them into those last four games? Or will it be kind of a roadblock and they have to, you know, kind of work up the energy on these last four games in the month of January? So it's a very important sequence coming up for Ohio State, because it's the most winnable sequence left of the schedule. And then you get into the really tough games, you know, the Purdue's, the Michigan State's, the Indiana again. So that's where you need to have these wins already locked up under your belt against the teams that aren't going to go to the tournament, like the Penn State's, the Nebraska's, the Minnesota's of the world. So, and Minnesota's still kind of a team that's a little weird, might be the best way to word it, but they're still a team you need to beat.
Fraudulent.
yeah, fraudulent in my opinion. But they're still, they've won a couple of games. They beat Michigan, but I guess Michigan at this point is the stamp next to fraudulent in the dictionary. So, yeah, this Wisconsin game kind of can set them up for a big, a really big run of wins, or, you know, it can really kind of, they might have to overstep it. It just depends on how they play tonight.
Yeah, Seth Lundy was a little bit of a problem last game. Last time these two teams met, if you remember, he really gave EJ Liddell some problems early on. He cooled off as the game went on, but he's a guy you got to pay attention to. Like you said, John Hara is a problem, but they're not going to run a lot of sets for John Hara.
No.
He's just kind of like your cleanup guy. He's going to get a bunch of offensive rebounds. He's going to extend possessions so that other guys can score. He's a headache. He's a guy you really do you want on your team. When they fired Pat Chambers and Hara and Jamari Wheeler said they're going to the transfer portal, I said that both of those guys would be perfect additions for Ohio State.
Yeah, perfect.
Getting either of them. And they ended up getting Jamari Wheeler. A great addition. Yeah. He's been fantastic. And John Hara would have been great too. He's much better than Joey Brunk, and they were looking for a big guy. He would have been a great addition as well. He's a guy you want on your team, but they're not going to run many sets for him. It's a home game. They should be favored by a decent amount. And it's a game you got to win. And like you were saying, they got like Minnesota, IUPUI, Nebraska. Pull their schedule back up here. Nebraska, IUPUI, Penn State, Minnesota are your next four games, plus Wisconsin. So if you beat Wisconsin, clearly the toughest game of those five.
Like, you should be able to round off four after that.
Hypothetically, yes. And then you're looking at...
That put them at, what, 9-1 in the conference? No.
Yeah. 8-1.
8-1.
Going so. To Math. Purdue. So, you know, it's possible. I just, after getting put through the shredder at Indiana last week on the road...
Yeah, everyone's a little gun shy just because of how the last road game went. But I do think that Indiana poses a much more of a matchup issue than Wisconsin does. And I also don't think, like, yes, that game they lost by 16. I don't think they lost that game by 16 in general. You know, it was just one of those games where they just kind of, it looked like they just lost all kind of, I don't know, hope might be too serious, but, you know, they just looked like they were just deflated. Shout out Tom Brady. So, you know, we'll see. I've said this like 45 times and I feel bad, but it's just true. It's just going to be interesting to see how they kind of like Northwestern, how they bounce back from Indiana, how they bounce back from, you know, this is their first road game since the Indiana game. So it'll be interesting. And it's a tough place to play in general, Kohl Center. So big W in the middle of the court. It's the only way I remember it. Big W.
We're getting close on time here. So we were going to do I was going to do more of like a national scale, like which teams you've watched recently, either in the Big Ten or outside of the Big Ten that are noteworthy, that you think are noteworthy for either being like really good, having really big wins, or like just being really, really, really shitty. I would say real quick, Texas Tech beat number 6 Kansas, beat number 1 Baylor. Shout out Texas Tech. Shout out Miami, who knocked off Duke this week as well. I believe they're undefeated in the ACC. They've won 10 games in a row, I'm pretty sure, and they're still unranked. So AP voters, stop being cowards and rank Miami. That's my shout out for national teams.
Yeah, Miami finally came through as like there's finally a definitive number 2 team in the ACC now. I thought it was just Duke and a bunch of really bad teams. The ACC at one point, like I'm not even saying this as a joke, look like possibly a one bid league for a while. I mean, they're just beating the hell out of each other and they all suck. But Miami's finally starting to come through as like a good team. Cam Augusti's a good player over there. Charlie Moore, Isaiah Wong, they got some pieces. So, yeah, shout out to Miami. I'm not going to name a team, but just a conference. You kind of already did, but the Big 12 is going to be so much fun this year with Baylor, Kansas, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. All these teams are really good. Texas.
Iowa State.
Like the Big 12 tournament is going to be a must watch. And just the Big 12 the rest of the season. I mean, they're going to have a top 15 or so matchup every single time they have a big conference slate. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And nobody's fraudulent in the Big 12. They're just losing games by like 2 or 3 points, you know.
Big Ten fans could latch onto Iowa State because Iowa State's basically a team full of transfers. If you remember
Isaiah Brockington,
he's at Iowa State. You remember Gabe Kalscher with Minnesota? He's also at Iowa State. Isaiah Brockington hit the shot last night. If folks watch, Kansas beat Iowa State by 1 point, but Brockington hit a shot to give Iowa State the lead with 20 seconds left, and then Kansas goes back down and takes the lead back. And then Iowa State comes back down, and it's Gabe Kalscher, who played for Minnesota last year, who took the three that would have won the game, but it went in and out. So there's a couple of former Big Ten guys on Iowa State. They won two or three games last season, and they've already won 10 or 11 this year. So they're a fun team to watch. Shout out Iowa State.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting, just a quick interesting little tidbit. You know, Fred Hoiberg kind of when he was at Iowa State, kind of started the whole, like, bringing in transfers and stuff like that, and not really focusing too much on like recruiting and just simply plotting your team through the transfer portal. He was like kind of one of the early guys that did that. And now it's funny that Iowa State under they're still doing that. So, and they're doing it well. So
yeah, no,
I thought they were going to suck this year, and they're a really good team.
And Hoiberg doing a really good job at Nebraska. Yep. Never mind. Anyway, that'll do it for us this week. Make sure to subscribe to the Land Grant Holy Land podcast feed wherever you get your music if you haven't already done so, so that you'll be notified whenever we put out new episodes.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at BucketheadsLGHL for in-game updates and other things like that. You can also follow me at Justin_Golba, and you can follow Connor. Connor, where do you live?
I live in the beautiful East Coast city of Columbus, Ohio, but that is irrelevant. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at Lamont, beautiful East Coast city of Columbus, Ohio. You can follow me at Lamont_Connor on Twitter. I am at most of the home games, so I try to get on the Twitter machine during the games a little bit if I can. Thank you for listening. Thanks for going along with us on the ride this season. We've got a couple more months left, and it's just going to get hotter and heavier each week. So you guys have a great weekend, and go Bucks.
Only two more months till the national championship.